Parsha Tetzaveh covers quite a few different subjects, and it seemingly seems to be very unrelated halachas of the big day kodesh, of the clothes of kohenim wore, the halachas of lighting the candles, the halachas of shmini meimluim, the halachas of the mizbechos. But under careful working through the parasha, there is a very, very beautiful common theme that connects all the various different mitzvahs in the parasha. I want to start with a very fascinating medrash. The medrash is on Perek Chof Ches Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says, Va'ato hakrev elecho es ar nechicha. Hakrev elecho means draw close. Es ar nechicha, ar your brother. Ve'esbon of Itoy and his sons, betoich b'nei Yisrael, within Klal Yisrael, l'cha hanoi li, to become kohenim for me. Okay? So this is a pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu being told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to draw close to Aaron. Why is it necessary for that command? Why is it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to be told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to draw close to Aaron a kohen? So there's a medrash. The medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw from Shemayim, when he came down, he saw Maisa Egel. He saw what was happening in the Egel, and Aaron really was the one who seemingly encouraged it. He seemingly was the one who suggested it should be done, and it looks like it was him. Obviously, we all know Aaron HaKohen was a tzaddik. We all know Aaron HaKohen had no intention of chlal, chas v'shalom, of making Klal Yisrael do any chet whatsoever. And it's also, we know it was a delay tactic. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from Shemaim, he saw Aaron HaKohen involved in the Egel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Moshe, Yodea ani kavanosai shel Aaron, heich hoisa letoiva. I know, Moshe Rabbeinu, what kavana Aaron HaKohen had. I know really what was the motive of Aaron, and I'm telling you it was good. And therefore, don't distance him. Hakrev eilechos Aaron Achicha. Bring close Aaron HaKohen. Bring him close. Take him back. Forget about the past. Forget about what you thought was right or wrong. I'm telling you, everything was fine. And therefore, bring him close. So the Chedusha Halev asks, he doesn't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu has a chiv, like every Jew has, to be don lekavzchus, to judge somebody favorably. Aaron HaKohen, his own brother, a tzaddik, how could Moshe Rabbeinu have possibly judged him not favorably? How could Moshe Rabbeinu have judged him in a form of thinking Aaron HaKohen was involved in the Egel when obviously he had absolutely no intention? Where's the Don Kavzchus? So if you want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu only had this small doubt, but he was Don Kavzchus, it's still difficult to understand, because after all that, Aaron HaKohen explained to Moshe Rabbeinu what his intentions were. He must have explained to him clearly that I must tell you I did in order to for the delay tactic, and I thought it would take longer, and they did things too quickly. He must have explained to Moshe Rabbeinu what was going on, and still, Moshe Rabbeinu, at this stage of Hakriv Elecho, the apostle Hakriv Elecho, still has some kind of distancing in his mind from Aaron HaKohen. So he must be Don Kavzchus. Aaron HaKohen must have explained himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and still, Moshe Rabbeinu still has this distance of Aaron, and until the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, no, bring him close, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have done that. Why? Says Rehenech Lebowitz, this is the effect of first impressions. This is a power of the impression, the first impression a person has is able to create a form in his mind that even if later on things have changed, even if later on you're explained that your impression was wrong, that is going to remain. That is a power of a first impression. And he says, whose first impression? Moshe Rabbeinu, the honor of Mikol Odom, the greatest man who's looking for, seeking the truth, had no personal agenda. And who is it talking about? His own brother, Aaron, who's only too happy about judging him favorably. He's only too happy to be put right and told, no, Aaron HaKohen meant right. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his own brother, Aaron, who wanted to judge him favorably, and he wanted him to come out virtuous, and still, the impression that he first saw when he came down from Shemayim stuck in his mind even after he was told that it was wrong by Aaron, and still unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that and gave him Sata Dishmaya, that bring Aaron close, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been left with that negative impression. That was completely wrong, even though he had no intention to do so. If that's the case, said Rehenna Chlebowitz, how much are we influenced by first impressions? We sometimes see people, we sometimes learn things, we sometimes are in different situations where we draw the wrong conclusion. How difficult it is for us to be able to retrack, how difficult it is for us to be able to refocus and to gather absolute truth. That is a koyach of a first impression. And I want to work through the parasha of, not only from this parasha we see the power of a first impression, but how careful we have to be from negative impressions, how powerful and wonderful it is to connect with good impressions, and our responsibility to make sure we have impressions of other people. So let's first go through a very, very fascinating pasuk. Rashi says in Perik Chof Zayin Pasuk Dalet. No, Perik Chof Ches Pasuk Dalet. Ve'ele ha-begodim. These are the clothes that they should wear. Choshein, Ephod, Me'il, Ksonis Tashbeitz, Mitznefes, Ve'avnet. These are all different clothes that Aaron HaKohen should wear. Says Rashi, the Ephod, Loi Shomati, Veloi Matsosi, Bebraisa, Perish Tavniso. Says Rashi, I've looked around, and I have yet to discover what this Ephod actually was. What was this Ephod? What was this vest that Aaron was wearing? I have yet to discover what that was. Velibi Oimeli, says Rashi. I don't know how many times Rashi says this. Velibi Oimeli, and my heart tells me, Shehu Chagor Loi Me'achayrof, that it was actually tied at the back. Rochvoy Korechiv Gav Ish Kamin Sinar, like a kind of a sinar, like a apron. Shechoy Grace Hasoros Kushrechvim Alasusin that they wear when they ride their horses. Rashi doesn't know what it's all about. Libi Oimeli is very anti intellectual. My heart tells me, not my head, my heart tells me that this is a case. Why did Rashi think that that is a case? Libi Oimeli, what is it based on? Where do you get this from? So Shimon Schwab says a very, very powerful thought. He says that this. He said that Ephod, as we know, represents the item of clothing that is there to counter Avodah Zarah. Different clothing were there to counter different things. Ephod is against Avodah Zarah. He said Avodah Zarah has a very strange connotation in Novi. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Chof Hei Mebeis, Omer of Nachman, Kol letzinusa asura bar me letzinusa da'akum. You know, to make litzonus, to mock, to make fun, to disparage, is wrong. It's wrong. One doesn't make fun of anything or anyone, besides for Avodah Zarah. For when it comes to Avodah Zarah, when it comes to idol worship, it's encouraged. Where do we learn it from? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Memvov. The pasuk says, Leyuchlu molet masoi, which means they could not escape being carried off. Now, what mass are we talking about? Carrying what off? Says Rashi, Hu maso shel rei. This is carrying off rei. Rei is feces. Right? In other words, Avodah Zarah has feces. It's connected to feces. Connected to something which is not usually talked about. Not something that we usually like to discuss or something that's even brought up. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we take it to the very base level of thesis, of Re'i. As for Shimon Schwab, still, there's so many lowly items that one can connect to. We don't usually compare anything to Re'i. Why, by Avodah Zarah, do we compare it to? Listen to this fantastic thought. He says, what is Re'i? What is thesis? What is it? He says, the power of thesis, what thesis really is food that has been digested, and the nutrients and the vitamins and whatever could be taken out of the food in order to help the body has been maximized, and the body rejects the rei, it rejects the feces, and those are the waste products that the body does not need, and it gets rid of it, it throws it out, takes it out of the body. Avodah Zarah is exactly that. Avodah Zarah began by Mesholim. The Torah is full of mashalim. Yod chazoko, Hashem has a strong hand. Reach nichoyach has a nice smell. In other words, the Torah has given us mashalim for our small human minds to try and grasp in our minds what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. A Yod chazoka, a powerful hand. So we know a powerful hand, so we don't know what Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Ein lo demus haguf, ve'ein lo guf. It doesn't have any form of body. And therefore, what we do is we give him mashalim in order to try and understand what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. But the idea is that once you get the mashal and you take the nutrients out of the mashal, you understand what the mashal is telling you, walk away from the mashal and leave it behind. Don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu as a strong hand and think of him as hands. No, as long as you understand who a Kodesh Baruch Hu is and what the element of strength is, walk away from it and leave the rest. And if you don't leave the rest and you take everything else with you, that is rei. That is actually making something that is a waste product a integral part of the food. For example, the Catholics, the Christians, the Catholics in particular. Yeah, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Bini ato ani hayoy miladad ticho." You are my son, and I give him birth to you today.
What pasuk is that?
That is in I'm not sure. It's in Yeshaya somewhere. I can find it out. Yeah, "Bini ato ani hayoy miladad ticho." You are my son. I give him birth to you today. So obviously, it's an expression of closeness to Klal Yisrael. It's a figure of speech that people can understand. So what do? They took it seriously. They took it literally. Yeah, and we have what you call the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception, where we have, you know, the Father, the Mamza, and the Holy Goat. Yeah, and those are the three concepts of Catholicism. They've actually taken it too seriously. We are supposed to take the mosh and leave it behind. So Avodah Zarah is compared to Rei, because Rei is a concept of getting what you need and then leaving it behind and moving on. Says Rashi, Libi Oimeli, my heart tells me that if an ephod is supposed to represent Avodah Zarah, then it's supposed to be tied from the back. Because a back is the idea to, as a counter to the Yetzer Hara, sometimes you've got to turn your back on the mosel and move on. Sometimes you've got to turn the back on the original impression and move on. In other words, don't take the impression to the extent that you're going to completely twist the idea and use the waste product as the food. No, take the food and move on. So that's why by the ephod is tied at the back, to teach us that sometimes you've got to turn your back on the mosel and move on and grow from it, but don't take the moshel as the real food. Which means, here we see the power of an impression. Sometimes the impression is there to get clarity, and sometimes the impression becomes the clarity. It becomes the deal. You know, the Bnei Ato, that becomes a whole new hashkofa of the Catholics, that there is a son that is as holy as a father, whatever it is, right? And therefore, that is Avodah Zarah. That is a power of a negative impression. Our purpose, our job in life is to grab on to the positive impressions and move with them. It's a very interesting posuk. The posuk says in Perik Chof Ches Posuk Lamed Hey. The posuk talks about the Me'il, and at the bottom of the Me'il there were little bells and Rimoinim. Parmoin Zov Rimoin, Parmoin Zov Rimoin. There were bells and there were pomegranates at the bottom of the Me'il. And the pasuk says in Perik Chof Ches Pasul Lamed Hey, "V'hoya al Aaron l'shores, it should be an Aaron when he serves. But nishma koiloi, and the voice of the bell should be heard. B'voyoi el haKodesh, when he comes into the Kodesh, when he comes into the Mishkan, lifnei Hashem. Ubetzeisoi v'lo yomus, and when he leaves v'lo yomus." Asks him Meforshim, why is there an obligation for Aaron, for the voice of the bells to be heard when Aaron HaKohen leaves the Kodesh? He's finished Aveda. He's finished his job. When he comes in, there's idea of him serving, he's on duty, and therefore the bells should be heard. But when he's leaving the Kodesh, when he's going out to the Mishkan, he's finished his day's work. What is the idea of having bells ringing then? To remind him of what? He's finished his job for the day. The answer is that the Pasuk is teaching me that the obligation of a Jew is to make sure that the impression, a good impression lasts. That even when he's finished a job, when he's left behind the mitzvah, but say so, when he's finished his job, he still has those bells ringing. He still is left with a positive impression. He still has the mitzvah he's taken with him. He doesn't leave behind the mitzvah and walk away. The bells are still ringing in his head. The voice and the power of the mitzvah is such that he's able to move outside the avodah still with those bells ringing. Every ma'isa ha-mitzvah, every single ma'isa mitzvah a person does leaves an impression. Every ma'isa mitzvah a person does, every tefillah a person has, leaves an impression. And with this we can understand a very powerful question that all the Mefarshim ask in this week's parasha. If you go through carefully Parshas Truma, Parshas Truma talks about the kelim of the Mishkan. We have the keli, we have the oron, how to make the oron. And then it has how to make the pareches, the kapoira, sorry. And then it talks about how to make the shulchan. And then it talks about how to make the menorah. And then it starts talking about talks about the different coverings, right? Then it starts talking about, in this week's parasha, starts talking about lighting a menorah, talks about the clothes. And then later on in the parasha, starts talking about 7 days Meluin, and then in Perek Lamed, after everything, Valsiso Mizbeach Mikta Ketores. Then you should make the Mizbeach of Ketores. Yeah, the two Mizbechos is a Mizbeach inside the Mishkan and Mizbeach outside. And the one inside was for Ketores. So Mefarshim ask, is Poshut not in order? It's simply not in order. It should say how to make all the different Kalim, and then start talking about the clothing of Aaron. But why, in the end of the clothing of Aaron, Perek Lamed, it starts talking about again a Mizbeach Miktak Tiris? Why? What's the idea behind this? What's the purpose of this? So it's a very interesting that very often you have different Mefarshim say different things, but I found that there are four Mefarshim who say exactly the same thought: the Chidah, the Maril Diskin, the Meshech Chochma, and Maram Galanti all say the same chiddush, and it's a big chiddush. The chiddush is that there is a difference between the Mizbeach HaKetores and the other kelim in the Mishkan. The other kelim in the Mishkan, let's say there was no menorah. The menorah got lost, the menorah never travelled in the right place, it got lost in transit. You put the whole Mishkan up and there's no menorah. The halacha is you'll not light the Neiros. You'll not light the Neiros. I've got to qualify that. It's not talking about if you're travelling. You're talking about in a case where in the base of Mikdosh or inside the Mishkan where it's already been there, suddenly the menorah left. You're not light now the menorah. If there's no oroi, you won't put inside there the edus. Right? There is a unique din with the Mizbeach HaKetores that if the Mizbeach HaKetores is not there, but it was there at that place, there's no obligation whatsoever to ensure it's still there when you bring the Ketores. Even if there's no Mizbeach there at all, if you, at one stage in history, made the Ketores, the Mizbeach Ketores was there and it got stolen, you can bring up the Ketores without the Mizbeach Ketores. You did not need the Mizbeach Ketores there. And therefore they explain, the Zachronim explain, that the other kelim are different to the Mizbeach HaKetores, and therefore Parshas Truma talks about the other kelim because there it is ma'akev, it holds back. You got to have those kelim in order to do the avodah, and therefore we decide to have a very very big space and talk about a new set of kelim called the Mizbeach HaKetores. Then in that case, if it's not there, it's also fine. By the way, the same thing applies as well to the we'll leave that. But this is the Mizbeach HaKetores. Mizbeach HaKetores is unique, that even without it, it has the ability to carry on the avodah even if it's not there. What's the lesson behind this? Why is that so? Mizbeach HaKetores is the most impressionable. It is the most impressionable. We find the power of the smell of the HaKetores was such that the Gemara brings down that there were places like in Yericho where they could smell, which is a long way. You go to Yericho today, it's a very, very long way. They could still smell the Ketores. It was 10 paras away. And it says, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Lamed Tes, that the goats in Yericho would sneeze from the smell of the Ketores. And the Mora brings down as Arbechiba Oven said name Yeshua ben Korcho, that Ezokin Echo told me he went to Shiloh, Vehirachti Reach Ketores ben Koisleho. Many years later, he could still smell the Ketores. In other words, something that leaves a hashpah, something that leaves an impression, you don't need to have the original product anymore. Something that is so powerful like Torah leaves an impression, the Mizbeach can go and we can carry on working with the impression they originally had. This is a koyach of a good impression. This is a strength that a mitzvah can do. That even if a mitzvah is not there anymore, we finish our Avodah and we leave, we walk away with that impression, we walk away with that strength. This is the strength of Mizbeach HaKetores. Tefillah is compared to Ketores. My submissives are compared to Ketores. They leave a good impression. Our obligation is to take these impressions and to work with them. I'll just tell you very briefly, if you get this, fine. If you don't get this, it's also okay. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, in Perizov Hilchos Beis HaBechira, there's a machlekes in the Gemara. Beis machlekes Gemara, if the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was Kidsha L'Shati L'Osid Lovli. In other words, when Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadosh Yerushalayim, did the Kedusha remain there forever and ever, that same Kedusha? Or, at the time of the Churban, did it disappear? The Rambam holds, if you want to look it up, in Perek Vov, Hilchus Beis HaBechira, Alocha Tes Vov, the Rambam says that the Kedusha was L'Shati L'Osid Lovli. That the same Kedusha that was then, existed then, and it never got destroyed. The Kedusha remained. Not the same levels, but the Kedusha remained. And the Rambam says, why do I say so? Because the Shechina never left the Mishkan, the Beis Mikdash, and therefore the Shechina never left, the Kedusha remains. Look in the Rambam there. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid, based on the Gemara, involved Mitzir Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says over there, that by Maisa Sheni, there's an obligation to eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. If the Mechitzas came down, when the Mechitzas came down, you can no longer eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. The question is, if the Kedusha remained in Yerushalayim, why can we not eat the Maisa Sheni nowadays in Yerushalayim? Says the Ravid, if that's the case, it's a proof from here that it's not correct, the Rambam is incorrect, and therefore the Kedusha from those times no longer exists. The fact is, we can't eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah Melech says over there, if you look carefully in the words of the Rambam in Hilchus Maaseh Sheni and the Perek Vav, everything works out. You'll understand why the Rambam said what he said. Rabbi Chaim in Kovet Shurim says, "Lo yehavin rayanosu shel Mishnah Lemelech." I don't really understand what Mishnah Melech is saying. That's what Rabbi Chaim says. But there's two svarim, Mekevus and Mishnah, and Binyan Tzion explain like this. And this is a vort that is a very musa vort. And they say a difference like this. They say that what the Gemara means, when the Gemara says that you can no longer eat Maisa Sheni today in Yerushalayim, is Dafka talking about Maisa Sheni that came into Yerushalayim in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Then, you took it outside of Yerushalayim, then you can't eat it again later on when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because the Kedusha was so strong at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that now that you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that has gone down to a certain level, but it hasn't got lost, and therefore you can no longer eat it inside Yerushalayim because it's become so Kodesh. But what can you eat? If fruit has never made it to Yerushalayim in the first place in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, then that the Gemara holds, of course you can eat inside Yerushalayim because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains. In other words, the Gemara, there's a chiluk, the difference between something that was in Yerushalayim in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash that is so Kodesh that after the Beis Midrash is destroyed, you can no longer eat it, and something that never made it to Yerushalayim in the first place, that was never inside the walls of Yerushalayim at that time, it doesn't have that Kedusha, and that being the case, later on you can eat it back in Yerushalayim, because that wasn't so Kodesh. So my Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman says, he learned from here a very, very important din. That we learn from here the strength of something called Koilet Mechitzas. Something that was in the place of Kedusha at one time and was affected by that Kedusha cannot be compared to something that did not have this opportunity to be part of that Mechitza. Something that was inside the Beis HaMedrash. Something that was part of coming in connection to holiness. Being a Talmud of a great Rebbe. Being connected to Kedusha. Being inside the yeshiva. You cannot compare that to somebody who never had the opportunity. You can't compare it. The one who has never had this Kedusha can never be compared to one who has a Kedusha, even if he left that Kedusha. He can always come back to Kedusha, where the person who never had this Kedusha can never come back to. And this is a power of influence. This is a power of Hashpah. The power of Hashpah is such that even if you leave it, you can always come back and become greater than the person who never had that influence. And this Rabbi Yisai makes a beautiful, beautiful vort. This connects to a vort Rav Moshe Feinstein says. The Pasuk says, in Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, the Pasuk there talks about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach. Now, I'm not talking about the Mizbeach at Keteres, I'm talking about the Mizbeach outside. The Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim, Techapel HaMizbeach, V'kedash To Oysoi, 7 days, you should be Mechapel HaMizbeach, you should do the Avodah HaMizbeach, for Hoya Hamizbeach Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Mizbeach we're referring to over here should be Kodesh Kadoshim, should be a holy of holies. Kol Hamigea b'Mizbeach Yikdosh. Anything that attached itself to the Mizbeach becomes Kodesh. What does that mean? What does it mean, Kol Hamigea b'Mizbeach Yikdosh? What does it mean, anything that attached itself to the Mizbeach becomes Kodesh? Says Rashi, for Hoya Mizbeach Kodesh, says Rashi, Umahi Kedushasi. What is the Kedusha that the Mizbeach has? Says Rashi, Kol Hanegea B'Mizbeach Yikdosh Afilu Korban. The Kedusha Mizbeach is V'hoya HaMizbeach Kodesh Kedoshim. The Mizbeach is Kodesh to the extent that Kol Hanegea B'Mizbeach Yikdosh. Anything that touched Mizbeach will become Kodesh. What does that mean? Says Rashi, the Kedusha Mizbeach is such that afilu korban posel sha'ola olav kidshoi hamizbeach lachshiroi. If you have a korban that is posel, if you have a korban that is not kosher, you're not allowed to bring it up on the mizbeach. Let's say you did. You know, there's different psule korbanos. A korban that is, for example, you had a machshava, you had in das to offer up this korban not in the right time, or to eat it not the right time, or to eat, not the right place. Right, there's pigle, there's noisa. That korban becomes posel. Tomei, it became tomei. It becomes posel. You're not allowed to bring up that korban. What happens if you actually did not know this halacha, or you did not know that this piece of meat was tomei, for example, and it brought it up on top of the mizbeach? Do you now remove it from the mizbeach? Says a posuk, no, you don't. The posuk says that the mizbeach is kodesh. That if it goes up, if it goes up, you don't take it down. Something which is very, very chomot, something which is very stringent, something that is if a person eats it otherwise and get koros, means very serious, very, very serious stuff. But if you take it up from the Mizbeach, you don't get rid of it. Says Rashi, Shnema kol negea yikdosh. Shemei ani, maybe I would have thought, Bein roi, bein she'enu roi. Maybe it means even something that is not roi to come on the Mizbeach in the first place. Kogoin. Let's say you have an animal, that's a trefa. What's a trefa? Something wrong with its lungs. So it was never worthy to be a korban in the first place. No aveira was done to it. Everything's fine, it's a trefa. It's got a problem with its lungs. You shecht it, you put it on the mizbeach. What's halacha then? Says a pasuk, if that's the case, take it down, says Rashi. You'd have to take it down. Why? It doesn't seem to ask for emotional finds, doesn't make sense. Something that is very stringent. Very stringent. Pigle, noisa, tome. If it goes on Mizbeach, it stays there, you offer it up. But something that is not so stringent, something that is tome, something like a trefa, which is a small problem, with how kosher it is, you may have a hole in the lungs, you get rid of it, you chuck it off. Why? Says Rav Moshe, you know why? Because the Pasuk says, Kol HaNegea B'Mizbeach Yikdosh. Anything that had a connection to Kedusha becomes Kodesh. Those things had a connection to Kedusha. Those things, Pigle, Noisa, Tomei, at one stage had a connection to Kedusha. They were worthy to be brought up. They were ready Kodesh. If they're ready Kodesh, even if now they are a worse state than they were previously, but the Kedusha that they have, the fact that they once had a Kedusha, has such a strength, has such an impact, that they have a ability to be brought up later if they put on top of the Mizbeach. But something like a treifa that was never ro'i, was never fitting to come to the Mizbeach in the first place. Never in its life was it ever ro'i. It never had this connection with the Mizbeach. If it's on the Mizbeach, you get rid of it. Says Ramesha from here, an incredible lesson. Now, I strongly suggest, you know, you work through this on a Kira basis, and it's a lot to think about. Says Ramesha, it is better, it is far easier for a person who has been through the yeshiva system and unfortunately has left it behind, but he's been influenced by the yeshivas. He's had been a Ro'i L'Mizbeach, he's been connected to Kedusha, and he's left it behind, now he's posel. But he'll be far easier for him to come back, and he will be Ro'i to be brought up as a Korban. Far easier for him to reconnect with his obligations than a person who never had this ability, a person who never had this connection to the Mizbeach in the first place. A person who never went to yeshiva, a person who never was brought up in a home that never had any Torah and Kedusha in it, is going to be far more difficult for him to connect in the first place than a person who had the Kedusha, he went off to Derech, and he can come back much easier. Statistically, I don't know whether Ramesh is correct, but so many stories indicate that if a person has a connection to Kedusha in the first place, that impression lasts a lifetime. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman used to say it often. He used to say it. There's a story of a person, an American balabos, who moved to America before the war. America before the war was a desert, and people unfortunately completely gave up everything. This man certainly will not be considered Talmud Chacham. I would not say even as a Ben Torah. I wouldn't even say he kept Kalos Kachamuros. He didn't keep everything, but he said, with all that was going on, with all the difficulties leaving his family behind in Europe and everything else, he poshut could not do an Avera. He was not able to do an Avera. So somebody said to him, how do you keep strong? What happened? He said, I'll tell you. Very simple. I was traveling through Europe, and I came to a place called Radin. And it was late at night, and I was trying to find a place to stay. And there was nowhere for me to stay. It was everywhere was dark, and I found one house with a light on. So I went to this house with a light on, and people, you know, whether he heard beforehand or heard afterwards, apparently that was a house of the Chofetz Chaim. And he didn't want to disturb the Chofetz Chaim. He knocked on the door, and this saintly man opens the door, the Chofetz Chaim opens the door, and he invites him in with the Chofetz Chaim's kind of avas chesed. He invites him in with a full love and attention and focus, and he brings him inside his house. And he sits him down and he gives him a meal. Chofetz Chaim cooks him himself. And then he prepared a bed for him. And he said he saw that Chofetz Chaim had given him his own bed. And it was so cold, it was freezing cold at that time, it was so cold that that he couldn't sleep. So the Chofetz Chaim took his own coat off and covered him with his own coat and saw the Chofetz Chaim was shivering. And he said that impression lasted him. This impression of love from the Chofetz Chaim was so powerful, it made such an impact that years and years later, when his other side of the world, he posh could not do Averis. He couldn't do Averis. It wasn't Shaykh. It posh wasn't possible. It wasn't Shaykh. It wasn't possible to do Averis. Reb Chaim says another story. He said there was one man who went to the Kosel, a completely secular person. He had no shaychus, he had no connection to Yiddishkeit at all. And he went to the Kosel, and there were people there who were putting tefillin on, other people. And his wife sort of asked him, do you want to put tefillin? Nah, don't be silly. I'm not putting on tefillin. So I said, no, put on tefillin, what do you care? No, I'm not putting on tefillin. Anyway, she hacked him. Eventually said, you know what, okay, I'll put on tefillin. You make it happy, put on tefillin. He put on this tefillin, and they gave him something to Kriyashma to say, and he burst into such sobs. He was sobbing and sobbing. He said he remembered when he put on tefillin when he was a bar mitzvah boy, and it reignited his connection to Yiddishkeit, and this man was a changed person. He went from there and he became a Baal Tshuva again. He changed his person. Once you have this neger to Mizbeach, once you have this connection to Mizbeach, that lives on forever. A person must not ever lose that. A person must make sure that he keeps that. My great aunt, my grandmother's sister, was a very, very well-known personality. She was called Dine She's called Rebbetzin Grunfeld, Dr. Judith Grunfeld. And she was very involved in the Beis Yaakov movements. She moved from Hungary, where my great-grandparents lived, and she moved to Krakow. And she was called the queen of the Beis Yaakov. She was an intellectual behind the Beis Yaakov movement. And she married the Av Basin of London, Diane Grunfeld. It's a very tremendous Talmud Chacham, wrote quite a few Sforim. And after the war, Dr. Grunfeld and Diane Grunfeld went to the orphanages around Europe to try and find out the lost children, if there are any lost children who are adopted or taken in by the churches into the orphanages, and to find if there are Jews. And they said, no, none of our kids here are Jews. So she said, you know what, I want to do one thing. I want to go inside, and it's very short, 5 minutes, and I'll leave. If there are no Jews, we'll leave. We're not going to take away your kids. She went inside there, and she said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And children started running towards her. Mama, Mama! Children started running towards her. He said, these are Jewish children. That is a koyach of a good impression. That is a koyach that can ignite a person their whole life. Reb Moshe says, we'll just finish off with this thought. Reb Moshe says, when it comes to a Mizbeach and a Choshes, he said it's Kodesh Kodoshim. The Pasuk says, V'hoya Mizbeach Kodesh Kodoshim. It's Kodesh Kodoshim. When it talks about a regular Mizbeach, it doesn't say Kodesh Kodoshim. It talks about a Mizbeach, it says Kodesh, V'hoya Kodesh. Why? He says, when you go out to the big wide world out there, you should just know that the Mizbeach that's inside, the Mizbeach that is inside the Mishkan, is called Kodesh. You think you're nothing special, you're Kodesh. You're amongst Ultimate Chachamim, you're amongst people who are B'nai Torah. I don't see myself as special, I'm Kodesh. But when you go out to the main world, when you're standing outside the Heichli, standing outside the Mishkan, you should just know that you are Kodesh Kodoshim. You are viewed as Kodesh Kodoshim. People see you, oh, as this Jew, or he's the rabbi. You have to know that you have an obligation and a responsibility and ability to be able to influence people, because people see you as Kodesh Kodoshim. People see you as a figure to learn. You are the impression people have. You are the one that has to go out and make the impression. This, says Rav Shamshon Falhish, is why we have the mitzvah at the beginning of the parasha. It talks about the mitzvah of lighting in the menorah. The parasha says, the Pasuk says, you got to light the menorah, lahalois ne'er tomid. Ask Rashi, what's lahalois, to let it stand up? Said Rashi, based on the Gemara, lahalois is madlik achitehe shal heves oilem oleo. Light it until the flame stands up by itself, based on the Gemara. What is that? Says Shamshon Falhish, this is chinuch. Chinuch is such that you have to stand and light the flame and influence it to the extent that it can stand on its own 2 feet, and then you can walk away. Influence it, influence your children, influence society around you the best you can. They're looking at you, as far as they're concerned, the Kodesh Kodoshim. Work with a hashpah, work with an impression, make sure it stays, make sure you retain that impression. Leave behind the bad impressions, leave behind the immature impressions. That is Re'i, that's Avodah Zarah, that's Eifoy, turn you back to them. Keep the positive impressions. One should know that sometimes people who are from birth have far greater challenges than Balei Tshuva. Balei Tshuva start understanding who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and start learning the Chumash with a mature mind. Very often, the from birth, excuse the expression, they learn the Chumash based on a very childish kindergarten way of the Makkos and Paro and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they never grow out of that. There's an obligation for a person to leave that behind, to start learning Torah again, seeing Tefillah again as an adult. Look at Shemona Esra again as an adult. See, leave those bad impressions behind. That's the Avodah Zarah. That's Christianity. The obligation of a person is to look, renew the new, if it's a bad impression, to renew the new impression, and to grow and to light and to step and to be, Be'ez Hashem, be a light unto the nations.